It's great to be family. Amen. We're going to be talking this morning about hearing God's voice. How many want to hear God's voice? That's important, and we have different moments in our lives where it seems that we hear more acutely the word, the voice of God. Perhaps we could be in a service where you walk out and you say, you know what, God just spoke directly to me, or you're in an environment where you're talking around a Bible study, and all of a sudden something just jumps off the page at you, and you say, wow, God is speaking to me. Those are crucial moments in the life of every growing Christian, but we're going to talk about how we can have an ear that's attuned to hearing the voice of God, not just occasionally, but live with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We are called to be people, since we live by the Spirit, we keep in step with the Spirit. And so we are called to do exactly this, and that's hear the voice of God. You know what? Hearing God's voice is not something that you can say comes naturally. And in fact, your physical ears oftentimes do not help you at all. Very rarely, on occasion, for sure, throughout Scripture, we have moments, and there are people that I've talked to that God has spoken to on occasion in an audible voice. But the majority of time, God speaks to us from the inside. And this makes it a challenge to be sure that we're hearing God's voice and not the voice of another. You could start to analyze and you say, no, actually the words that he said just now I thought was his voice. They're the words of a song that I know. Or sometimes, and I can't tell you how many times as a pastor, I've had people come up to me and ask me this question. And I'll explain it to you, the reason why that's an important question in just a moment. But they come up and they say, Pastor, how can I distinguish if it's God's voice speaking to me or if it's myself talking to me? And so we're going to be talking about how to make that distinction and how to live with confidence, knowing when and what God is saying to us and being able to deal with the specifics, because we don't want to be fooled by a counterfeit. We as the people of God live under submission to him. When we gave our life to Jesus, we said, Lord, we want you to be Lord and Savior of our life. We don't just need a Savior. We want somebody to take control and to guide us. And if we at times confuse ourselves or we think that we don't know what God is telling us, how can we be following his lead? So we need to be sure of hearing the word of God. From the very beginning, we need to establish two fundamental truths about hearing God's voice. The first thing that we're going to understand, and we're going to get to these in more detail in just a moment, the first is his authority. God is our authority. And we have to understand that as a basis to understanding how to hear his voice. And secondly, we have to understand that he speaks to us to give us direction. He doesn't speak to us to cause small talk. He doesn't chat because you're bored and you just have nothing better to do and he has nothing better to do. When God speaks to us, it's to give us instruction and direction for what we're supposed to do. And so we're going to look at two primary texts this morning. And first, we're going to be in Acts chapter 26. Now, I could have actually chosen a number of different locations for this portion of the study this morning, because this is a reference to Paul's testimony. He actually has the initial event there in chapter 9. He gives his testimony in another fashion in chapter 23 and in chapter 26, but we're in chapter 26 today. And so in chapter 26 of the book of Acts, starting in verse 12, it says, on one of those journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, King Agrippa, because he's the one who's now hearing the testimony, says, I was on the road. I saw a light from heaven brighter than the sun blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic. Now hear what he says. I heard a voice. Well, then you say, that's easy. That was audible. Well, we're going to get to the details here in just a moment. I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Then I asked, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness, so that you a witness to what you have seen and will see for me. Next. Okay. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven, first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and in all of Judea, and then to the Gentiles. I preach that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate the repentance by their deeds. And so here we have our first text. And we notice at the beginning, as believers who have confessed Jesus as our Lord, we've said that you, Jesus, are our Lord, which means that we are saying that he is our authority. And if you note here, at the beginning of our text, what happens is Paul all of a sudden is surrounded by this great light, and he is knocked to the ground, and he hears a voice speaking to him. Now, you could say the great light was one that conveyed the moment of God's glory shining in. Well, we cannot make that argument. But you know what? The great light does not convey what Paul actually says, because the word from Jesus is, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Now, that's interesting, because when Jesus addresses Saul, he knows all about him. He knows his name. I mean, he knows his direction, his address. You know what I mean? He has everything. But the response of Saul is not the same. His response is, "Who are you, Lord?" Now, that's interesting. Why? Because although Saul does not know to whom he's speaking, he immediately recognizes the voice as the voice of authority. This is the basic. We have to understand that when we are hearing God's voice, his voice is the voice of authority. We have to understand this from the very beginning, because it wasn't the light that shined upon Saul that made him think that this is the voice of authority. It was the voice itself and how Jesus spoke immediately in Saul's mind, in his heart, reverberated something that was inalienable. He didn't know to whom he was speaking yet. Jesus would then explain his name, because Saul didn't know all about him. Jesus only knew all about Saul. And so now, as a result, he hears the voice of authority. And if we were to trace this same testimony out, we're going to see the voice of authority speaking time and time again. In the original text, in chapter 9, for example, when Jesus then says, "So go into the town and I'll tell you what to do." So we know that there was more than one conversation Jesus has with Saul. There in the town, he's blind for 3 days. He doesn't eat or drink anything. He's fasting, and he's spending this time with Jesus. And Jesus tells Saul, "You're going to be visited by a person." And notice how every time it gets more and more specific, and Saul ends up knowing more and more the voice of Jesus. And this is crucial. And this is what happens. Saul obeys, and he goes in. As a matter of fact, in our text, he even says, "I was not disobedient." That was what we just read. And so Saul is there, and then he's in the room. He's not eating. He's not seeing anything. And here he is. And he hears God, Jesus, tell him, "Look, I'm sending you a man named Ananias. He's going to pray for you. You're going to recover your sight, and you're going to be fine. You're going to be shown what to do." And so he's waiting. So then all of a sudden Jesus goes to Ananias, right? You know the story? He says, "Ananias, I want you to go. You got to go to this person on Straight Street." Gives him really clear directions. It's a home owned by this guy named Judas. And in the home is a guest. And his name is Saul. "I want you to go and talk to Saul of Tarsus." And Ananias, he says, "Lord, I've heard a lot about this guy. I mean, he is a terror. Just between the two of us, we're better off with him blind and in that house." That would have been his natural response, right? But instantly Ananias recognizes the voice and is obedient, right? These two key elements that we are talking about. Paul is confronted then with this voice of authority, calling him Lord, even though he doesn't know who it is. Later on, Jesus' voice gets more and more detailed. He's able to discern clearer and clearer the voice of God, and he is there in a situation where his testimony is now declaring. And we can hear from his testimony, and the reason why he's giving testimony is because we find Paul being a person who is always obedient to the voice. Now, this is crucial for us to understand, because if we are not obedient to the voice, there is something that's going to happen to us. And this is what unfortunately happens around the world over and over again from one corner to the other, even in Christendom. We come into the relationship that we have with Jesus, and we give our life to him. You know what? At that point, we've all heard the voice of Jesus. There's never been a time when I have led somebody to the Lord and they didn't say start feeling something and say, it's just, I know God is touching me. God is speaking to my heart. That immediately, that first encounter, you always know, who is it but Lord, right? You are the Lord. You're speaking to me. It's unalienable at that moment. But what happens? Piece by piece, we end up rationalizing disobedience. We end up rationalizing disobedience. We must be willing to do exactly what God says to us when he says it to us. And I'll tell you the reason why it's so dangerous when we're disobedient. Give you an example. Jesus comes along and he tells you, and Blanca's English is coming along marvelously. And she was announcing that our benevolence fund is low. And actually has nothing, so that's pretty low. And we have a need in the church, a family in our church. And if you could help with an offering to the benevolence fund, that would be appreciated. And you know, if anybody has all of a sudden a medical emergency or a family issue, or they're all of a sudden laid off, the church, we want to pray for them, but we also want to help intervene in that problem, and that's what the benevolence fund is for. And so let's imagine that when you hear that announcement, Jesus says to your heart, I want you to put in, and you can put in the amount that Jesus would tell you, I want you to put in 100 pesos. I want you to put in 500 pesos. I want you to put in an amount. And then you listen to that voice, and that was the voice of Jesus speaking to you, and we'll just say that as a baseline, right? But then we start to think, oh, you know what? That's all I have right now in my pocket. I don't have time to go to the bank. And then we're going to go and do this, and I'm going to need, I've got to pay the guy washing my car out in front. And slowly but surely, when Jesus said, give 500 pesos, now all of a sudden we've negotiated that, and we are perfectly fine obeying Jesus by putting the 200 pesos in. Just an example. At the moment when we negotiate with Jesus, whether we partially obey or we completely disobey is not the point. That's why Deuteronomy says, if you're careful to obey all of these things, when we negotiate with Jesus, what we have just done is we have established a new authority in our life. Because to hear his voice requires two things. Number one, that we recognize his authority, and number two, that we're obedient. And this is cyclical, my friends. Every time we are obedient, as Paul, Sarah, there in the text, Saul at the time, he hears the voice, go do this, and he's obedient. And he says, I'm waiting. Okay, I'm waiting. Okay, after that, I was obedient. I went and shared, and I immediately began to preach. He was obedient time and time again, and because of his constant obedience, he was constantly able to discern and hear the voice of God. Because every time you're obedient, you're also establishing anew the authority of Jesus over our lives. And every time we are disobedient, we are subtracting or taking away from his authority. And oftentimes, even Christians can get into a situation where they are equal to, if not superior to, in their own minds as authority in their lives. And then they come and they say, Pastor, how can I distinguish between my voice and the voice of Jesus? What that really is saying is that I have grown accustomed to hearing my voice as the authority. Be careful. be careful when we do this. Let's go to our other text this morning so that we can bring some real light into this point. And this last week, we began our reading through the Bible in the book of 1 Samuel. I love 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, but one of the texts that I just love so much is this text that we're going to have here this morning in 1 Samuel chapter 3. This is when God speaks to Samuel for the first time. Just like we just looked at when the testimony of when Jesus speaks for the first time to Saul and his response, now we're going to look at the first time Jesus speaks to Samuel. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There was not many visions." Now, that verse stands out to me. I asked the question, was it because God wasn't talking? No. What was the actual circumstances taking place? We had in the priesthood disobedience, blatant disobedience. The sons of Eli would come in and they would take the meat before it was cooked. And it was contrary to the law. Eli knew that his sons were wicked, having immoral relationships, even in the temple, and did nothing to intervene. You know what happens? You end up, oh, it's okay, it's not that bad. And who rationalized that? Was it Jesus' voice? Was it God's voice? Or was it Eli and his sons who were setting themselves up as their own authority? And as a consequence, we have this verse. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. So we continue on. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. All right, this is where we're at, right? We're looking for the voice of the Lord. And it says, Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went back and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. And his sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." Now, notice what happens here. Samuel does not see a bright light like Saul did. Matter of fact, you could get confused by his response. But if you actually analyze the response, you'll understand how much this makes sense. Because Samuel immediately has an encounter with God's voice, but it is a peaceful encounter. It's not an encounter where he is blinded. It's not an encounter where all of a sudden the glory of God is everywhere and there's no vision in front of him, etc. He hears simply a voice. And immediately the response of Samuel was that he would run to Eli and find out what he wanted. Now why? Because we understand something. Eli was only one of the people in the temple. We know his sons. We know there were other workers. There were a lot of people moving around at different points and times in the day. And when God speaks to Samuel, Samuel runs to Eli. We have to ask the question, why didn't he run to one of Eli's sons? Why didn't he run to one of the other workers? And the only answer that you can come up with is because immediately Samuel's ear hears the voice, and he says, it's the voice of authority. And who was his authority? It was Eli. He doesn't confuse it with another voice as a child. You know what? It's interesting. You could go and even talk to Pastor Blanca. It's fascinating the fact that children hear God's voice on an ongoing basis. And you know what? It's not difficult for them oftentimes like it is for an adult because they're used to being under authority. But nonetheless, here is Samuel running to Eli. And what's the level of obedience and authority between Eli and Samuel? Let me ask you the question. If you're lying down and all of a sudden, and let's just put it into your own household, you're lying there, and all of a sudden, somebody else in the house, whether it be your spouse, be another person that lives there, whatever, you're lying on your bed, you're about ready to fall asleep, and all of a sudden, you hear that person call you, right? That's how you perceive it. That person call you. You get up. You go, yeah, my love, what do you need? And she says, I didn't call you. I don't know what you're talking about, right? Go back to bed. Go back to bed. Start to doze off, get comfortable again. And all of a sudden, you hear the voice. Now what does she want? Yes, my love, what do you need? I didn't call you. Stop bothering me. I'm telling you. You just go back and go to sleep. I go back to the bedroom, lie down. About ready to zone out and go to sleep, when all of a sudden she calls me again. What am I going to think? I gave her two chances. You know what? If she wants me, she knows where I'm at. How many understand that would be your natural response? If Samuel had thought, Eli's calling me, my authority is calling me, and he wasn't a person completely submitted to authority and completely obedient, by the time the third voice comes, he never would have gone to Eli and heard Eli say, next time, say, Lord, your servant's listening, right? But here is who Samuel is. Eli is his authority, and Samuel is one under authority, and as such, runs immediately to the authority that's calling him, and that's the problem, because most people end up growing into a situation where they are their own authority, and then they're going to always confuse their voice with the voice of God. This is the problem that we have throughout the world and even within Christianity. We as believers must humble ourselves before God and make him our authority. We will never be able to discern his voice while we are our own authority. We are going to be set up as our own gods. Now, let me give you a couple of examples of times when that has happened. In the Old Testament, we have the story of Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt. How many understand that it was pretty clear God was doing something when all these plagues started happening? Right? I mean, you got to a place where Pharaoh's own court was saying, don't you know that our country is ruined? But Pharaoh could never see it. And this is what it says in Exodus 5, verse 2. It says, Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. Pharaoh was his own God. And you know what? There are people in the world that, you know, doesn't matter. I've seen situations where people are completely annihilated by the clear word of God. God just stretches them out and speaks to them in an incredible way. And they're thrown out into a hospital or in jail. And there they just get even more obstinate. I don't know. You've seen people like that. But we're not like that. We really want God's voice. And so what do? How do we tip the scale so that we can hear God's voice and we can discern? Because we must be humble to discern the voice of the Lord. Because Pharaoh was his own authority. He could never get to that place. But the humble are the ones that God raises up. Paul even highlights this when he writes to the Philippian church. He says, Jesus, being this person, humbled himself, becoming obedient even to the point of death. Jesus could say, not my will, but your will be done. And Ananias could hear the voice of Jesus telling him to do something that he didn't want to do, but you know what? He did it. Jesus speaks clearer and clearer the more we walk in obedience. And this is something that we have to understand. James tells us in chapter 4 and verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. We have to make Jesus our authority and be willing to obey. And you say, but what happens if I confuse it? What happens, Pastor? I think that Jesus told me give 500 pesos. And he really only wanted me to give 200. And it was my own imagination. Let me ask you the question. How many think that when you get to heaven, Jesus is going to come along and say, why did you give so much? I told you less, and you're always doing more. Does that sound like something Jesus is going to say in heaven? Okay, so the rationale that we sometimes throw out there falls apart. Falls apart. Because he is the big God, and he is the one in charge. We just simply begin to step out by faith. And that's a key element that we need to understand, because faith is connected. The more we hear God's voice and are obedient, the clearer we hear his voice, and our faith actually can skyrocket. God being our authority is the beginning and the start, and the obedience is one that catapults us into the future, but disobedience is deadly, is deadly. Where did this? Samuel had to speak the whole word of God. Remember when Eli calls him up? He says, Samuel, come here, boy. This time it's me. I'm not really calling you. Samuel shows up and says, so what did he say? So what did he say? He's not speaking to me anymore. So what did he say? May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you don't tell me everything. Ooh. What a strong word. And then what's the next thing that happens, according to our text? Samuel, it says, told him everything, hiding nothing. Now, you know what? Eli didn't know. Samuel easily could have told him half the story. Samuel could have told him, God told me that he's not happy with your sons. All the blame on the sons. I'm not going to actually confront my leader. He could have twisted the story, and Eli, being one that couldn't hear from God anymore, would have swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. But you know what would have happened? Samuel would have set himself up as the authority, and he would have been in the same situation. I ask you the question. At the beginning of our text, we had that statement that said that in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. Did it continue to be rare? Did it continue to be rare? Because open defiance from God to God was something that ran through Eli's family, but Samuel obeyed completely so that everyone from Dan to Beersheba, it says, recognized that God was speaking through Samuel. Samuel grew up and people would come to him and say, what is God saying? And they knew that it was the truth because Samuel didn't hide anything. He obeyed God. He heard his voice and obeyed. And even when it wasn't convenient, one day God comes to Samuel, now older, and says, Samuel, I want you to go to Bethlehem. I got a job for you. You're going to anoint a new king. And Samuel, God, Saul is going to hear about that. He's the king. He could take my head. And God says, go, Samuel. And what does Samuel do? He goes. Hearing God's voice, it's always crucial to walk in obedience. And the more you do, the more your faith will grow. Let me close with one last text for you. In Luke chapter 7. We have a story in which Jesus is invited, called to come to a centurion's aid. His servant was very sick, and he's on his way to the house of the centurion. When all of a sudden, the centurion sends word back to Jesus on the road. And he says, don't come. And this is why. He says, for I myself am a man under authority. Interesting how authority is connected to obedience and faith. I'm a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one go and he goes and that one come and he comes. I say to my servant, do this and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him and turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Recognizing the structure of authority. And what was the situation in Jesus' day? The authority was the chief priest, not God. The authority was all of the rules and regulations. The authority was all of the man-made traditions. And Jesus would confront them over and over again, saying, you have a fine way of canceling out the word of God because you're not submitting to God's authority. You can't hear from him anymore. And what happens? They end up crucifying the Son of God in flesh right in front of them because they say, no, that's not God, because they've set themselves up as their own authority. Friends, it's very, very important that we understand this element of God being our authority, and walking in obedience moves us to greater and greater faith to be able to do things. And so you may say, so Pastor, what do I do from here? Well, at any moment, we can jump off the wrong merry-go-round. And we can get on the right one. We can get on the right cycle. Any moment you can say, you know what? I am tired of hearing my own voice as the authority. I'm jumping off of that one, and I'm going to the other cycle, where I say, Jesus, you are my authority. Tell me what you wanted me to do, and I'm going to do it. And the more we are obedient, the clearer and clearer the voice of Jesus will get in our lives. So how do you make the transition from one section to the other? Well, it's not complicated. It's called repentance. Because to him who knows the good that he should do and doesn't do it, that's sin. We need to recognize when we've canceled, we've nullified the word of God for our own, or the voice of God for our own desires. And that's sin. And we repent before God. And we say, God, forgive me. I don't want to be on this cycle anymore. I tried for my childhood or from my life before I knew you to be my own authority. It didn't work out for me then. I don't know why I jumped back on. I want you to be my authority. I want to obey you. Trust me to do what you say. Give me another chance. And that's exactly what God is looking for. Because God is still a God that is speaking. And he's still a God that speaks clearly. And he wants to speak clearly to you. Bow your heads with me, if you will. Lord, we thank you for being willing to challenge us when we're going astray. And for those who today are here or even online and struggle saying, I don't know if that's God or not, after years, their own testimony ends up saying something the opposite of what text and scripture proves out. A life of obedience ends up hearing clearer and clearer every single day. And Lord, if we've placed ourselves as the authority in our lives, in this moment, we choose repentance. There's no excuse, no rationale. There's no way for us to say that it was because of this or the other. We simply recognize that we are wrong and that you are right. Forgive us. We thank you that you love us in spite of all of that. And although the word for Eli and his family was that there were no sacrifices that would cover over, there is a perfect sacrifice that continues to cover over even the most horrendous of sins. And this sin of disobeying you, Lord, we ask that you would forgive us. Cover over those sins and attune our ears to hear, because this world needs people who are completely obedient to you, and we want to be those people. We want to share with the person that you call us to share. We want to do what you call us to do, and we want to be the people who you're calling us to be, and we want to walk in that obedience with an ear attuned to your voice of authority. Lord, we choose to start that new life, that new journey today. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I challenge you to go out of this place fully obedient to Jesus. Amen. We'll see you on Wednesday. God bless you. We're dismissed.